Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com,
a production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Serotalk.
Podcast number 38. This is Michael Loft. To my left is the man with
Mike
the plan.
Mike Calvo. Hey, what's up?
To my right,
Ricky Inger. Hi, everybody.
Right, and across from Mikey here, we got...
Oh, we got Roger over there. We got Michael.
Michael
we got
Fox, who met last year, and his wife, Sandy. So,
I got my wife right here, Alina.
Alina, so
she's
there's seven
here
of us here.
Say hi.
Hi.
There you go.
She doesn't usually squeak like that, but she did today. That was tickling her.
Yeah, well, this microphone makes people nervous sometimes. I don't know. But anyway...
Well, it's furry looking. It's weird, man. Have you ever told our listeners what that microphone looks like, dude?
Fuzzy ball.
Yeah,
it's a furry ball.
It's a furry ball. It's the strangest looking windscreen you ever seen, but it does work. It keeps the peas from popping, so it's all good. But
Michael, where'd you bring us tonight, man? What's that crazy, creepy music in the background? It sounds like they're headhunters and stuff going to go get us.
No, we stepped out here to a very nice outdoor Mexican restaurant. We did choose something outdoors so that we could talk and communicate. Nice music, good ambiance here. Price is reasonable. They even got some little heaters going on here, so it's not really too cool on a San Diego night. So
I love this place, man. It's awesome here. What do you think, Ricky? You like?
I love it.
You guys moving here?
Yeah, next week.
We want to move here. So if anybody from San Diego's, you know, looking to give a house to anybody, we want housing.
Give. Yeah, giving's good.
Yes.
Well, kind of wrapped up our second day here as far as the expo goes, and I'll start with you, Mikey. Any impressions of the event?
Well, I've just I didn't see a lot of new stuff. There seems to be some. I really enjoyed today. I got to see the ABIC stuff for the first time for a long time, and again was just so amazed by the way that the Solo, their new device, is kind of a standalone device, works. The Book Sense, of course, is awesome. Just, you know, the readers. I mean, a lot of our listeners are already used to this stuff because, of course, they've been listening to the podcast, and, you know, since we give them the lowdown way before it ever happens. But had a great time. Got to do an interview with the folks over at the NFB podcast, at the Tech Podcast for the NFB. Had a great meeting with the Apple folks. We're all looking forward to the iPad being released in a couple weeks.
Yeah, one of my highlights, I spoke with Jim today with KNFB, and the Blio may be 3 or 4 weeks away. I know you're not as pumped up about that, but I'm telling you, the Blio is going to be in 2010 what the iPhone was in 2009.
Hey, it's from your lips to God's ears, if it gets out in 2010, I mean, we're a quarter of the way through 2010. It was supposed to be out in the second or third quarter of 2009, and it's still not here. And then we saw this thrown together podcast where they tried to make a book that was TTS, red TTS, look like the machine was actually doing it. I just thought that the whole demo that they put up was staged. A lot of it.
Well, it was. I mean, they couldn't download books, and James is very candid about it, and I think you'll like the discussion, and I'm just very excited about it. I mean, cool. My feeling is I want to see it done right, so if it takes a little time, that's all good. He claims that the claims of late February actually came from Ray Kurzweil and came from that article over at CNET, but I originally heard, last November, I believe it was, so I don't know what's going on, but the first release will be just for the Windows PC, and then things down the road next in line will be iPhone, probably followed by Macintosh, so it is all taking longer than we would like.
Okay, so they're going to release for the Windows PC first, so it's the easier of all the platforms.
Yeah.
Are they doing Android or anything? Or they?
That sounds like it's further down the list. First, you know, iPhone, Macintosh, Symbian, Windows Mobile. So Android, again, because it's not fully accessible, a lot of companies have at the bottom. And you've been playing around with the Android.
Yeah, I have. I actually, you know, it's funny. Those of you that follow me on Twitter, and you're welcome to do that. I'm twitter.com/Mike Calvo. I've been playing with the Nexus One. You know, the way I've been saying I'm going to do this. It's just I'm going to put my iPhone down, my beloved iPhone, put it down and say I'm going to live with this device for a couple of weeks if I can. Well, and I'm trying to be as open as possible. Those of you that are following me on Twitter know I said I want to like this thing. I really do. And I approach it first from a regular consumer standpoint. And if I really get lost, I try and find people at Google to help. And honestly, the people at Google were very responsive. When I called them and said, hey, you know, we lack documentation. We're working on it. The Nexus One is the first Android phone with all touchscreen, very similar to like the iPod Touch and the iPhone. And it's got some work to be done. I liked it because it was version 2.1, and of course, those of you who have the Droid from Verizon, you haven't gotten the update yet. They keep teasing you guys, I know. But my next phone that I'm going to be playing with is the Motorola Clix. I'm on T-Mobile, so the Motorola Clix is winging its way to my home now. It's running currently 1.5. I think it's Cupcake, whatever that. They have this thing about naming them Cupcake and Brownie, or I don't know, the donuts and all these different fattening foods. But 2.1 is going to be the next update for the Clix, and it should be out any day. And the Clix, like the Android, like the Droid, has a QWERTY keyboard, and it has the D-pad. I did look at the GSM version of the Droid. I keep saying Droid, Android. The Droid, and it's called the Milestone. And the Milestone looks like a great opportunity, but it only supports Edge here in the United States. Remember that 3G here in the United States works only, I believe it's on 1900 and 2100. Is that right?
Are you familiar? I get confused all that. I know there's 23 and...
I know that Verizon, I know that AT&T does one thing and then T-Mobile does another, and T-Mobile has to have 1700, which of course nobody else in the whole wide world supports 1700. So I'm going to be so excited when 4G finally comes out, and we got from CTIA, it's looking like LTE and the WiMAX wars continue, but LTE is drawing ahead. And it's the first time, you know, that all of these products are going to be on the same network. So it's very cool, very cool. So we're going to be playing with the Android next, and it's going to be very exciting.
But there were some holes in this device. I mean, there was partial. Some elements were accessible and some were not, right? So you ended up...
Right, I never made a phone call on the Nexus One. I was never able to make a phone call on it.
That's a little disconcerting. I remember you saying the calendar didn't work, and I thought, well...
Well, the calendar didn't work with Active Sync, and that's going to be a problem you're going to have across the Android platform. It just doesn't work. What is done is you can sync your Google Calendar with Outlook, but it will pull every 10 minutes. You just don't get that real-time Active Sync
no
type
push.
Experience.
No push
right,
thing.
There's no push. That's okay. Exactly it. Ricky, what did you like?
Yeah, what have you been feeling here at the conference, Ricky?
Well, you know, I haven't gotten a chance to go out and look at all the cool stuff. I have been stuck in the booth, but that's actually not a bad thing. I've had a great time telling people about Saratech, meeting a lot of new people, and it seems that universities in particular have visited the booth today, and it's been great to talk to them about accessible events. And Remote Incident Manager, I just did a presentation on that, and it was great to talk to people and kind of expand on that. And the people at the universities are so excited about accessible event because they finally have a way to go in and say to their students, look, you can finally view the presentations as they were meant to be seen. You don't have to call 3 weeks ahead of time and get the information from your professors and so on.
Less is more. We got some really good interviews, and I hope you'll drop by CyrilTalk.com. Plex Talk Pocket, they're adding some wireless capabilities, internet radio. So I know a lot of folks will be into that, a few things in the internet radio space. By all means, go through and listen to those. And anything else big going on with you, Mikey?
Nope, getting ready to enjoy some of this awesome food. They have this sauce here called Suicide.
Suicide sauce, yeah.
It was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And we're getting ready to have some fajitas here. Got some great margaritas going on. I love San Diego. You guys got to come out to San Diego next year.
Oh,
muy caliente.
Muy caliente.
This is on the internet live. We're recording tonight for the internet.
Okay. Yeah. Very nice city out here. Very gracious people and great climate, weather, a lot of great places to eat and beautiful just to walk around and
great music.
So
here, look, Michael, get the microphone right over here. Here, I'll give me your hand here. I'll point you over here. So you can hear the. Look at the. Ooh, look at the sizzling fajitas. Woo! You hear the sizzle, people?
Oh, in stereo, baby.
Oh man, that was yummy. Here you go.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm feeling it. I'm gonna be mooching now. Just kidding, but
you're gonna be what?
Mooching. You know. Mooching, but anyway, we're going to go enjoy our eats here, but enjoy the upcoming great, kind of the best of interviews.
Send us feedback.
Yes, please do. Resources at serotalk.com or call that blab line at 866-997-BLAB. Give us your 2 cents because we want to pass them along to the world. So kick back and enjoy, and we'll see you with another exciting podcast in 2 weeks.
See ya.
Later.
Live at CSUN 2010, this is Michael Off, and I caught up with James Geschel here with KNFB Reading Technology, and we can certainly talk about what's new there, but the big thing on our minds, James, is Blio.
Well, Blio's awesome. Blio is not just software. Blio is a whole new way of reading. If you ask me what Blio means, it means the world's best and accessible ebook reader. Now, the one thing you need to know first about Blio is that it is not a specialty product for blind people. We are fully committed to an ebook reader that everyone can use. It's very, very exciting to see this actually coming about, and what we're about to see is access to literally millions of books. You know, if you think about it, the Library of Congress, which is a wonderful program, is only able to produce about 4 to 5% of the books published in the English language each year. Then, of course, you've got RFBND and Bookshare, etc. Various specialty programs, but we get only a small fraction of the books that other people get. With Blio, we'll have access to all books that are electronic, and that's a growing number. So when we launch Blio very, very soon, we'll launch Blio with more books than are available to anybody through all blindness specialty services
combined. Right.
Correct.
Of course, many people heard the demo you did in Washington, D.C. I believe it was February 1st.
Yes.
How far have we come since then? What has been added? Or talk about which, this is software, right? So which devices are supported? I guess the Windows computer?
We're starting out with Windows computers, laptops, notebooks, netbooks, anything that's a Windows-based machine to begin with.
Okay.
Very, very soon, we will be on the iPhone, on Mac computers, MacBooks. We'll be moving ultimately to Symbian-based phones, all kinds of portable devices.
But probably not the Windows Mobile platform? Is that one that you're probably
no,
not?
No, probably the Windows Mobile platform. I don't see why we wouldn't.
Okay, that's pretty exciting. So, folks, whatever device you have, you're going to have an opportunity. Although someone's going to ask me, I can hear it now. What about Linux?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I truly don't know.
Well, it's going to be based on numbers, and that's
it's our intention
to be
on you know, as many possible platforms as we can.
Now, I noticed in your demo of the iPhone, it sounded like there were some unlabeled buttons. So I guess there's been some evolution in getting the...
There have not been yet on the iPhone version. There will be. It's on a little bit slower track than the launch of Blio, which will occur in just a few weeks.
Really, that soon?
On Windows machines, right.
So by that, do you mean within April? Do we think it will be?
You're trying to pin me down.
Well, I don't, don't want to do
The answer I usually give people right now is this spring. 2010.
So in Q2.
Q2, 2010.
Okay, by the end of June at the latest.
Yes.
And we understand. I mean, things happen. And I would rather wait and have it done right. And I hope most people feel that way as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So how many books? And not all books are imported into this yet, right? How many? What would the current selection, you think, be at the time of launch?
Oh, I would say 150,000 to 200,000 books by that time. But understand that this number is going to literally explode more and more and more. And we're talking millions of books, literally. What people need to know is that the publishing world is undergoing a massive conversion from ink on paper to digital. And as it does, I mean, obviously that could be done in such a way that we are closed out.
That was one of my questions.
That we are closed out.
What
in fact,
about...
I've tried every ebook reader that will run on a PC. I know I can't use the Kindle on the Kindle, or the Nook on the Nook, you know. But I've tried running the software, and at one point or another in doing it, I'm blocked out.
Right, so what about like college textbooks?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
You know, this is one of the things that... That's why I said when I did a podcast on advocacy, this may be one of the times that we need to, and I know the NFB's already done quite a lot, but that we as a blind community unite more than ever to make sure that we are not locked out of what's going to be the greatest evolution in terms of access for us, because not only can we have all books at the same time as our sighted counterparts, but just the fact that we don't have to wait to get our college books or wait for someone to actually read them.
Well, you know... the NFB and the ACB together joined up and protested and filed litigation against universities that were using the Kindle in their classes. And all of those universities now have ceased from doing that. I think one or two possibly voluntarily, and others by direction of the Justice Department and by settlement of a lawsuit. And in every single case, those schools have said that they will not implement an ebook solution unless it is accessible. Well, Bleo offers them the opportunity to implement an accessible ebook solution.
So to make sure folks understand, there's a wealth of free material, but obviously, because someone said, what's the incentive? But there will be, of course, books that can be purchased, and then that's where they can derive revenue for the product.
Well, yes. I mean, that is a good point. With Bleo... sure, there will be access to millions of free books. These are books that are in the public domain. They're not under copyright protection anymore, and so we can make them available, and there's no cost for that. But, of course, you know, there is no free lunch in the world. And the exciting part of this, I think it's very exciting, is that we are about... as blind people, we're about ready to be able to join the mainstream of people who buy books. Mostly we can't buy books. Or if we can, we can't afford to buy books.
Or if hardcover book, yeah, and we got to turn around and scan it in via one of the technologies.
Exactly. And then, of course, we have to pay $1,000 for the technology that lets us scan it in.
Well, not only that, James, but what I'm very excited about is the built-in capabilities to track. I mean, because so not only can have an enlarged display, but you could have Braille support if you have a Braille display.
That's correct.
But what I'm excited about is this being used to promote literacy, because the cursor can track so they can read along and hear via speech
That's
what's
correct.
Being spoken, so that you can use this to teach people how to
that
read.
That is correct. That is correct. They have all that capability within Blio. Blio is a very dynamic reading system. The book looks like a book with, as you just pointed out, a moving highlighter that tracks the text. And it's also dynamic in its audio output. We have really three choices of audio output. And again, it depends on what the publisher does to make that possible. But one option for audio output is, of course, audio, much like we hear on NLS books or
pre-recorded
audio. And a growing number of publishers are doing this more and more and more because people, you know, like to read books at times when they can't literally be watching the page. They're maybe driving or doing other things. So that's one option. Another option is our internal text-to-speech. Very high-quality text-to-speech, which enables people to, again, listen to the text as it's read by a TTS engine, and there will be several different choices.
That was one of my questions. Is this self-voicing so that you will provide some TTS, or will it be dependent on the screen reading?
No, we provide TTS. Internal, and then the third option is what you just said, that's a screen reader, and you know, some people will prefer to read with their screen reader as well as reading with our TTS or the audio if it's available.
So what features have been added? What can we do now that maybe folks didn't hear in your original demo?
Trying to remember back, we could not download a book for that demo. All the books I had were stored in my Blio library. I could move from book to book and select a book and open the book and read within the book. I had some limitations on movement through the book that have been removed. I could probably at that point in time actually read the whole book, but navigation was much more limited. I can move now in page increments. We're obviously working on character, word, line, paragraph increments, headings, subheadings, chapters, things like that.
And you have bookmarking capabilities?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, Blio remembers where you were and when you.
I mean,
left
you said
it.
Multiple bookmarks, so if you either go between different books or within a given book, I'll go through and read a book and maybe want to mark 10 points that I want to come back and take some notes.
The other thing about Blio, and this part is not accessible yet, but the other thing about Blio is you can write sticky notes, basically think of notes in the margin. For things you want to remember, and save those so that you can, you know, use it as a study tool. But in any event, let's see. I said download, and now I can. This is truly exciting. The other day, I was working with some of our engineers and looking at what was available for me to download, and one of the options was the Complete Works of Plato, and I hit the button to do that, and the guy pointed out, he said, you know, this is a huge book. And about 10 minutes later, I had the Complete Works of Plato downloaded on my machine, and it goes immediately to the reading view, and the book was there for me to read. So that's just...
How large?
Unimaginable.
Well, yeah.
I don't know how large the file was.
No, I don't mean that one, but Blio itself. Well, how big of a download do you think it will be?
Oh, well, I don't know the bits and bytes, so don't.
Right, okay, no problem.
Yeah.
I just wondered if it was going to be like a 30 meg or 100 meg, you know, if you're going to have voices in it, if it's going to be.
Oh, it'll have voices in it. It downloads very quickly, it installs very quickly. That's a pretty standard and basically seamless process. There is one caveat to that. Depending on the person's system. That is how up to date it is. Now, if it's Windows 7, that's got the latest .NET framework in it that's important for Blio to display.
Okay, so which .NETs do we need to make sure this works?
I don't know the particulars.
I wonder if they could be integrated. I know people like Jamal Masri write it into the program itself, and if they're not available, it can go and retrieve them and install them.
Oh, well, so. Blio does that.
Right. Okay.
The installation will take care of that. No problem about getting it. And Blio will find it and install it. I'm just talking about the time.
Okay, right, so folks know that if they understand some other process is going on and they don't know what that is.
Yeah. I know at an earlier point when I was installing Blio and it had to install the .NET framework, it told me that this would take approximately 40 minutes, and I just went and had lunch, and by the time I got done, it was installed. So
will this have pull-down menus? Or, is it going to have a file view edit type of thing, or is there just going to be some toolbar with buttons of different actions to engage?
I would describe it more as a toolbar approach, and the architecture could change from what it is right now, but basically what you do is you have several different views. You have the library view, the settings view, the bookstore view, the download view.
So we have hotkeys to jump between these, or just tab between the views?
You don't tab. Well, in some configurations, you can tab between the views. But what you do is Alt and then arrow left and right, view to view to view.
To change views.
Yeah, so it's really, really simple. It's elegant design, I think. And then you spacebar or enter into the view. And then to do different things within the view, such as, for example, if you're in the download view, you've got different sources for books, such as Google Books, Feed Books, Featured Books, and the number of sources will grow. But let's say you wanted to go into Featured Books, then you would Control Tab. And then that puts you within Featured Books. So once you hear the name, do Control Tab, and you're in the Featured Books, and then you arrow up and down for the books.
Now, is it proprietary in that the books can only be played within the Blio Reader? In other words, where I'm going with that is I could see a lot of people are thinking right now, well, what about my Victor Stream or BookSense or the new Bookport Plus? Can I port a book from my PC over to that device and read it, or is it going to be dependent on having
for
copyright reasons?
Well, sure.
Right.
We'll let you display or use the book in probably up to 5 different platforms. I think the exact number is undetermined yet, but of course, it has to be a compatible platform. Victor Reader Stream would not have the kind of processing capability, for example, that we would need for the Blio.
Okay. So you're thinking that, can I infer from that there may be selected portable book reading devices that may be able to work
in
the future?
Well, it's pretty open, except that the... Obviously, the platform has to have the capability.
Right, the processing speed or supported format types. Exactly. Yes.
So right now, that would have to be a Windows operating system. And again, it could be a Mac fairly shortly. The iPhone, certainly fairly shortly.
Are you looking at Android, even though its accessibility isn't quite there yet?
Yeah. Of course we are, it's not a question of not wanting to. We'll get there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, obviously you have to give priority, and obviously the PC Windows format would be first, just based on sheer numbers.
Sure.
And maybe to find out what the user experiences are, what issues you might have in the beginning.
That's right.
Well, this is an exciting project. Have we overlooked anything here?
Well, the thing I want to really emphasize more than anything else is with Blio, we as blind people now have the opportunity to join the mainstream of literacy, literature, and learning. I just never really imagined that this day would come about, but it's truly dawning. We're used to thinking of getting our books through one or another specialty kinds of services, and that means we have to wait, 6 months, a year.
And that brings
years.
Up a good point, because I wonder how this will ultimately alter the industry, either the NLS program or Bookshare or, RFB and D.
I assume that over time it will. Blio or not, the whole publishing industry is changing in such a way that there will be more accessibility and less sole dependence on specialty services. I would say that, that will be a trend that will evolve. It won't happen all at once.
Right, but part of the evolution here. Well, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes and sharing some insights that many of us did not know, and we look forward to a release this spring, assuming all goes well. And we know, we'll have to play that by ear, but hopefully we can come on back on the podcast or maybe a tech chat and definitely accessible event and definitely demo, go through it.
Sure, we'd be very anxious to have an opportunity to do that.
All right, thank you very much, James.
Thank
you. Live from CSUN 2010 for CerroTalk.com. Podcast and blog, as well as SamNet Radio. This is Michael Loff. Live at CSUN 2010, this is Michael Loff, and I caught up with the man, the myth, the legend, the bargain connoisseur, Mr. J.J. Meadow. How's it doing, buddy? It's nice to meet you in person here.
Nice to see you, too. And we're here over at CSUN in San Diego on Blind Bargains, and we are talking about a whole bunch of cool things with Cerotech, a new version of RIM. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, our new RIM is version 2.1, and what we've greatly improved is the screen draw so that, it speaks so much faster. In the past, in almost any remote technology, there's usually a little bit of delay by the time you hit a key and you get the speech input back. We've almost nulled that out. Now, some of that, of course, depends on your internet connection, but we've really improved the speed of the audio and video communications and just the ability to get that screen reader feedback right away. So, of course, the folks who don't know what RIM does, basically it lets you use a computer regardless of what screen reading technology is on it, or if it has no access technology, then you hear the speech of system access. So we have a lot of blind IT professionals at Ohio State and other facilities who use this to work on computers, and, of course, the sighted folks, they're working on their machines. They don't know there's a blind person on the other end, which it doesn't matter and it shouldn't. So,
how do they get set up? They just install a little piece of software, isn't it? Or?
Yeah, there's a client and a host. So basically, you send the person, 5-6 meg file.
Sure.
And they just run it, and then basically you agree on a hotkey. So when it sends a request to connect, it can even be a space bar or something a little more complex, so you don't do it by accident. And you hit that, and then basically you're connected. And, of course, you can always abort the connection if, for some reason, you felt uncomfortable what the other person was doing on the other end. This is something that is already in Cerotech's technology in a smaller scale. Not much, but a slightly smaller scale in our remote access that SAMNET members have, where the difference is there. You're mainly controlling the computer of other system access users, but it will work with window eyes as well, or JAWS, or maybe it's just a little more sluggish, but it can be done. But this is a standalone thing, and it's more for IT professionals, so it has a little more cost to it. But we're really excited about the speed enhancements now. It's working really well.
Well, not only for IT professionals, but anybody who wants to access even their own computer remotely, right? It would work for...
Exactly. Or remote training. That's the biggest thing is...
Right.
I talked to a lot of these people that drive hours and hours between clients all over the state, and while some people may need that one-on-one, most do not. Maybe they need it initially, but eventually you can do training or tech support, repair problems. I've talked to people that said, wow, I drove 4 hours just to unmute a sound card. You know, I could have remoted in and done all that right from my home. So it's a very powerful tool, and the fact that it works regardless of which access technology really opens up a lot.
Sure. Is this available on the Build a Bundle, the monthly plans?
Not remote access, not the remote incident manager.
Okay.
No, but the Build a Bundle, at least as far as working with SAMNet, you can do for $9.95 a month, and that will work with Window Eyes or JAWS. Two differences: you're not going to be able to work on a person's computer who has no access technology, and the other thing is the remote incident manager, you can actually do work, reboot the machine, and have it automatically reconnect once. Right.
Oh, okay.
So those are really the two big differences.
So how much is the RIM cost then?
Basically about $100 a month.
Okay.
For that technology.
Sure. Okay. So that's the newest stuff from...
other than that, we've got the AE hotspot. We mentioned it at ATIA a little closer to form here. But essentially, a lot of people like Accessible Event, and you've been on our tech chats with it.
Sure.
But sometimes corporate entities or universities want to keep everything internal. They don't want it out on the web. So this way, they can run this, you know, box. It is literally a computer. And then everybody can connect to it, and all the documents can be shown. You can even share Wi-Fi. Or, I mean, you can connect via Wi-Fi, but you can share an internet connection if you so desire with the Ethernet port. Or you can keep it all just internal for showing your Word documents, spreadsheets, and web pages, and PowerPoint slides, and so forth. So there's a lot of interest.
So you're doing a presentation at CSUN. You set this box up, and then everybody else that's in the room can connect and follow along with the power.
Within a couple block area, and of course that depends somewhat on the terrain, but yeah. Mm-hmm. You could cover a couple city blocks in a normal environment, so you know, large enough to cover, you know, a whole floor of a hotel, or definitely a conference area,
right?
Or a school, you know, a couple main buildings in a university. So it's got enough transmission power.
It's a pretty powerful. You know how many milliwatts it is, or it does sound like it's pretty powerful.
I don't know the exact specs on it.
Right, but it sounds like it's pretty souped up. Compared to your average router, where something goes...
Yeah, it's not...
Feet.
Yeah, it goes beyond the average router.
Right.
Which would only go maybe 50 feet or something.
I'm thinking maybe like the general session at one of the conferences, that's, you know, a couple thousand people. It sounds like it would work for most of the room.
Yeah, it would cover all of this room that we're in here, which is a good-sized facility.
Right. What is the... I assume it's completely accessible from an administrative point of view, correct?
Well yeah, exactly. You would... Right. Get in and do what you needed to it right through a web admin.
Okay.
Because it's designed to be simple. You know, you plug it in, turn it, you know, hook up the antenna, turn it on, and it boots, and it's ready to go. And right through a web admin, you would put whatever presentation materials you want on the device.
Have you landed on a price for that yet?
It may depend on what you want to do. There's two forms of it. Mm-hmm. You could purchase it outright for about $10,000, or you can rent it on an as-needed basis. So if you just do an event like this, a couple events a year, it might be more cost-effective to rent it. But if you're going to use it on any regular ongoing basis, you know, like the NFB has purchased one because they see the need for it for other training materials.
Okay.
That's kind of where
we
are with it.
It's almost like it's a type of service you could contract maybe with a hotel, so then they could offer it as an option maybe to their presenters, or if they're renting out meeting space to people.
Well, exactly, because you go in a hotel and you may not be able to connect to the wireless, or they may charge an exorbitant fee, but you could go in there, do your own presentation, and bring this box in. Mm-hmm. So it opens up a lot of opportunities, again, in the education.
Definitely.
And the government sector, where they use really strong firewalls and security. They would rather have it on site and have it all internal.
Have you considered maybe offering the rental as a service for, like, the, you know, obviously you could now, but it's a little more, you know, available, say, like, at the major conventions or, like, at CSUN next year? Is that something you guys are looking into? So for presenters that want to have that at their presentation can easily access it?
Yeah, I don't have the prices on the rental, but that could be done. You could give us a call toll-free at 866-202-0520 and inquire and find out, you know, about renting a unit and how many days you need it, and would ship it to you, and then you could just send it back when you were done with your presentation. I think that would be available for by the summer convention, so that if folks want to use it for ACB or NFB,
they could do it.
They could certainly do it.
Okay. And if people want more information on this, they can go to serotech.com.
That's right, serotech.com. Live at CSUN 2010, this is Michael Off, and I caught up with Stavros
Kate Stavros Papastavrou. The company is called VI Scientific LTD.
Okay, VI Scientific LTD. And the product here, particularly you're talking about, it's called Vision Hunt. Is that correct?
Yes, Vision Hunt.
Vision Hunt. Okay, and what does it do?
Okay, Vision Hunt is a mobile software you can install on your mobile phone, and it uses your phone's camera to identify various things. For example, it can identify the existence of light sources. If you're wondering whether your light is on or off, you can point the camera towards the ceiling or towards the television, and okay. It's going to beep high sound or low sound.
Okay, so what you call a light probe, just the ability to detect light, okay?
It's like a light sensor, yes.
Right, okay.
The second thing is color detector.
Color identifier, very good.
Yes. Just point it on any object, and it's going to tell you, and then you just press a number, and it's going to tell you the color or the primary colors that it finds on that object.
Oh, cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. And anything else in this?
Okay. The most interesting thing so far is US dollar and euro note identification.
Currency. Okay.
Currency, yes.
For euros and US dollars.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And we're working on a couple of more features. The one is a detector of dropped objects. For example, if you have dropped something on the floor.
Right, and you're trying to find it.
For example, your wallet. Okay, and let's say that your floor is like gray, your wallet is like black. You can scan the floor with the phone, and it's going to beep, and it's going to tell you, I found this object here. I found a rectangle object here or a long, thin object there. Just gives you a sense.
How large of a pattern will that cover?
It covers all small objects. For example, like wallets.
I mean, like what distance? How close are you going to have to be before it can see it and go, okay, I see this.
A couple of feet in front of you.
Okay, so within a 3-4 foot?
3-4 meter, 5 foot.
Right, okay.
2 meters at last, okay. At most. And the other product we're working on is a table detector. Take a photo of your table. It's going to tell you if you have any kitchenware on the table. Let's say that you had a party and everybody's gone, and you want to see if there are any wine bottles on the table, or glasses or knives or forks. Just point at there and shoot on the table. It's going to tell you, I found 3-4 objects, maybe a bottle, maybe a glass of wine on your table.
Okay, is this an iPhone app or work on other operating systems? Or
right,
what
now it, you can download it and test it for 100 launches for free for Nokia phones. Couple of weeks, it's going to be on the app on the Apple Store.
Okay, so it will ultimately be in the iPhone right now for Symbian.
Third, we have it ready also for Windows Mobile.
Oh, okay, you're covering all the big three platforms.
Yes, we do. The problem is that Windows Mobile is not that fast platform. We don't have it on the website yet, just making sure that everything is working fine before we post it.
What's the price going to be after 100 uses?
Okay, the price, we haven't reached a final price for US yet, but it's going to be on the double digits.
Okay, it's double digits. So
which
something
makes it very competitive for a dollar detection compared to other products.
And so less than $100?
Less, maybe far less than $100.
Okay, so somewhere between $10 and $99. Right.
Maybe on the lower 50s, not in the upper 50s.
Okay, maybe around 50 approximately, with that to be determined.
Maybe less than 50.
Right, because there's also the currency conversion going on as well.
Exactly. And the other thing is that the major advantage of Vision Hunt is that you have it on your mobile phone. You don't need an extra separate device.
I give the website.
www.visionhunt.com.
Visionhunt.com. So check it out, folks. Three right now and eventually 4 great features in one accessible application there. Live at CSUN 2010, this is Michael Loft, and I caught up with Gil Lutz with Sendero here. We want to talk about two new exciting developments. The first one, a forthcoming app for the iPhone called Look Around. So thanks for joining me today, Gil, and tell us a little bit about what's new at Sendero.
Well, Mike, this is really exciting. We've decided to dip our toe into the eye world, and we're coming out with the app. It's going to be very basic. It'll probably be late April or thereabouts that it'll be released. It's an app that you essentially shake the iPhone. It will vibrate, so it lets you know that it's gotten the information. And at that point, you can get the nearest address, I mean, the nearest intersection, the street that you're on, and also the points of interest that are around you. So pretty basic. It's no navigation system, but it's just kind of like the look around information.
But sometimes that's all you want.
That's exactly.
Now, once you say points of interest, can I start moving and have it tell me as I pass what those
points
of interest?
Then you stop, shake it, and it'll locate to that area.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't move with you.
Right. So you just shake it every time.
Yep.
You want to know, okay, where am I here now? Or something smells good. What might this be?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And what are you projecting the cost of this to be?
Hopefully free. The first one, I think, is going to be free. And then as we add more functionality and integrate the ability to be able to navigate with it, then it'll be a paid app.
Okay, so right, you build into it, and kind of that way
right.
You can see the level of user interest, how many
exactly.
downloads.
Yep, exactly.
Exactly. Now, the other thing here you got, I guess, is it just called Sendero Maps? This is a PC-based
PC
solution?
PC Maps, right.
PC Maps, okay.
Right.
So describe this.
Okay, this kind of goes back to our roots. A lot of you will remember the old Atlas Speaks. And it's kind of like that runs on a PC. It will allow you to virtually explore on a PC, create a route, set an address, create a route. It'll tell you the nearest POIs to your current location. And that, you can create either a vehicle or a pedestrian route. And then those routes can be ported to any of the any of the note takers, including mobile geo. So that you can take those routes that you've created and just copy them into the other programs.
Very nice. I understand the PC Maps will be free for people who own some of the other software that you have. But
it'll be a utility that we'll be releasing. So.
Would this be something that the rest of us who don't own that might purchase just to figure
out?
Okay.
Yes, we haven't worked out all of those details yet.
But right, but there will be an option. We just don't know the price at this time.
And that'll probably be June, late May, June, thereabouts.
Okay, and then on the third front with your core software, what's going on there?
Well, we're working on 2010. We've changed the naming procedure to try and make it a little less complicated as far as which SDK, who has which SDK. So we're changing
Your
the
names naming. Are good. Your names are good, yes.
It'll be the new release, which will probably be late April, will be 2010. That'll be all new maps and a lot of new functionality, so.
Like what things? Now, does some of that depend on the devices? Or maybe I should let you first say what's going to be new.
Of course, the first will be on the HumanWare Braille notes, or all of the HumanWare devices.
Right.
That's the one that will be released, and then immediately the SDK will be released to the other developers.
So then Mobile Geo can add
Mobile Geo
features.
SenseNav or Street Talk can all go with that. That'll be 2010 maps, brand new maps. Some of the features... Neat, a history, so that as you go through, and I've used this a lot, it's really handy, where if you're looking up something, you set an address, or you look up a POI, that's all recorded, the first 25 are all recorded, and then it starts lopping off the oldest one. Like if you want to virtually explore somewhere, so you look up a POI, well, that immediately goes into the history list, so that if you want to go back to that, all you have to do is bring up the history list, find that, and then do whatever you want. Set it as an explore point or a destination or whatever. And then we also have a favorites list that's been on our wish list for a long time that you can set up 25 of your own favorites, favorite things that you want in a list. And that can be a route, it can be almost anything, a POI, whatever.
Well, very good. We're excited to see the evolution here. By all means, let us know. I'm sure you'll make it publicly available when the
we will watch
look
the,
around and the PC maps
right.
and the other updates.
Watch the senderogroup.com, senderogroup.com.
You have a phone number for people to call?
888-757-6810.
Live at CSUN 2010, this is Michael Off, and I caught up with Justin here at HIMSS, and one thing he's got, the BookSense DS.
BookSense DS is a portable DAISY player. It's basically the software feature is exactly the same as BookSense XT, but the only difference which has an OLED screen on the top. So it's very useful for the school students, and so you can read the menu or the status of the playback through the menu.
If you're out in the sun or in an unusual light environment, it still stands out for you.
You can see the letters on the screen.
Okay, very good. So what about the storage capacity?
It's a 4 gigs storage device in it.
And then can you add anything, any external?
You can use the SD card.
Okay.
And USB port. It has a USB port and USB OTG, so you can put into the another device, to like a sync braille, another braille display.
Okay, and when are we looking for a release, official release to the masses?
BookSense DS and VoiceSense Party will be shipped out middle of May.
Middle of May?
So some around the end of May, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, do we have prices yet for these devices?
Actually, the BookSense DS is $499, exactly the same as BookSense XT.
Okay.
But VoiceSense Party, we haven't decided yet.
I caught up here with Ray at Olympus America, and we wanted to, the new units coming out this summer that are going to give full accessibility to the recorder players and allow a variety of different content to be played on them. So Ray, talk about these forthcoming units.
Sure, Michael. The DM4 is the star for a show, if you will, and it is our most accessible unit to date. It is, among being a standard recorder of voice and even music, it also allows us to store and play music MP3 files, downloaded podcasts, audiobooks, and it is also a DAISY-compatible audiobook device.
So that was one of the questions. When you say DAISY, we wonder what formats that will support.
2 and 2.2.
Okay, so things that are marked up and created in those formats can be imported and played
correct.
On the device.
That's correct.
Okay, are you showing any of the units here?
Yes, we have them here at the booth. It is also a voice a device that offers voice guidance. It also does allow us some voice command capability for many of the functions, allowing us to just speaking into the unit in order to take us to that operating mode. What I'm not able to demo to you is the audio commanding or the voice guidance.
Okay, so the TTS is called text to speech to navigate the menus, as well as voice commands.
Are not
we cannot show at this
not
point.
Showing.
Okay, all right.
What I can play, I do have audio book in here. If you wish, and I can simply, I'm scrolling in the menu to audiobooks. I am then selecting, in this case, DAISY is one of my four options. And I have a couple of files in there. Both of them have to do with Olympus and Olympus's history. And so I will simply, at this point, press the OK or the play button. And here you go.
Okay.
The Olympus brand was introduced in February 1921.
So that's the built-in speaker on the device?
Correct. Now, the unit itself does have built-in memory. It has 8 gigabytes built-in, as well as a microSD card slot, which will currently allow us to put cards as large as 16 gigs.
Okay, so describe the unit, the dimensions and the layout of the buttons and so forth on it.
Well, the layout of the buttons, it's very cell phone-like in terms of size, although it's thinner than almost all cell phones out there. You do have the. As I look at the front of it, it has a 2.2-inch, actually, color screen, so it's a very large
screen. OLED? Is that kind of the new?
It is not OLED, no.
Okay.
No, but a very strong backlit screen. It button-wise, you have, just below the screen, you have 3 arranged horizontally. They're function keys. You have F1, F2, and F3. F1 and F2 are completely customizable to your preference, and 3 is a standard menu button. Directly below those, you have two larger buttons, one on the left for stop, the one on the right for record. And then directly below that, you have an array in a circular form, top, bottom, left, right buttons, and then a center one for OK or play, or a confirmation type button, if you will.
Right.
It is a USB device, And it comes with a USB cable where you can charge the lithium-ion battery directly from your computer, or the included AC adapter is an option as well.
And what's the battery life of this device?
Battery life, we're currently rating this at 20 hours of record time. So you will get longer than that if you're doing a combination of play and record.
Okay, and then how long does it take to recharge?
That I don't have that figure yet.
What is your projected release date for this?
Our wide projection period, if you will, is either June or July.
Okay, now there's also a DM2, right?
So there is a DM2, and the fundamental difference is it is not a DAISY compatible device. And it is 4 gigabytes of onboard memory.
Instead of eight.
And it has...
Does it support all the same audio formats, though?
It records in the same audio formats, which are MP3, WMA, and PCM, or WAVE.
WAVE, right.
Yeah. And I'm afraid I don't have that full answer for
okay.
you yet.
Okay. Do either of these play the M4As, maybe the files you would download from iTunes or something?
That's unknown at this point.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any kind of built-in microphone or line input jacks? You want to get higher quality?
Both of those. There is a very, very high-quality stereo microphone at the top of the unit, and then in right in the middle of those microphones is a mini-pin jack for an external mic.
So you can choose the bit rate. So if you want something professional like I'm doing here, you can go 44K, or if you were just recording notes, you could scale that back.
You could go all the way down to the WMA format.
Right.
There is also a single ear jack as well for that option for listening, just as you're doing at the moment. The DM4 will be $299 and the DM2 at $249.
Okay, so to me it would be worth it to spend the extra $50 for the 4 gig of memory, the DAISY support. Does the DM2 have the voice recognition elements to it? Do we know?
Yes.
Okay. So $50 for an extra 4 gig and the DAISY 2.0 and 2.2 specs. So I myself would certainly opt to spend that extra $50. Why don't you give the website? I know this product itself is not out as of yet, but folks...
It is on our website at getolympus.com, and there is an audio product section of that site.
Live from CSUN 2010, I caught up with Jason Dean at LS&S. They sell a variety of different products, and I like to catch a few vendors like this just to find out kind of what's new out there.
I'll crash course you on some new products that we started carrying. One is called the Wilson. The Wilson is a 59-minute digital recorder. It has play, pause, record, and delete. Those are the only buttons on it, and it's $19.95.
Oh, that's a good price, and that's...
But it's 59 minutes of record time, so it allows you to have up to 15-minute messages. You have the maximum of a 15-minute message, but you can do that a few times within 59 minutes, or you can have lots of little messages.
Okay, how many concurrent?
As many as you want within 59 minutes.
Okay,
but this is a linear recording, which means message one, then message two, and you have to keep listening to the message. You can't skip over them.
Oh, you
so
can't move.
So unlike the Olympus digital recorders, where you can fast forward over the different messages, this one is really meant for someone gives you a name and address or a phone number that you want to take a quick note of. Or a teacher wants to send a note home with a child. Or you want to leave a child cooking or an adult cooking instructions, like the pot roast is in the oven, set the oven to 350, timer for 40 minutes, take it out, baste it, etc.
Right, it's a basic recorder, but that's what a lot of people want. And for the price, you're not going to beat it. That sounds like a really
exactly.
good product.
You got it. So that's called the Wilson, $19.95, absolutely fantastic product. We have another new product, which a lot of people have requested. A lot of people wanted a talking, electric, atomic clock with a radio. And we've got it.
And what is this product called?
It's called the talking atomic clock with radio.
There you go.
Very snazzy. I know we dressed it up nicely, but it is a good clock. It has a good talking voice. It has a good radio reception. And the fact that it's atomic allows it to change for daylight savings time.
Right, or basically sync every day at 3 in the morning or whatever with that WWV station.
Out there in Colorado, yeah?
Yeah, very good.
Exactly.
What is the price on that?
We have two flavors. We have it with radio and without radio. and don't quote me 100% here, I'm doing 2,000 products from memory right now. But it is, I think, about $35 for the one with radio and about $25 for the one without the radio.
Oh, very good.
But they are electric, they are atomic, and they're very, very nice. Some other new products.
So they don't run on battery, right? So
they do not run on battery.
Right. So at least a good thing, electric, when the power comes back on, it automatically syncs, at least within...
You got
by
it.
3 a.m. the next morning.
Mm-hmm, you got it. It'll pick up that radio signal and reset the clock for you.
Okay.
It does have battery backup for the alarm and such. So
oh, okay.
There is
so you
a little saving grace there. Yes, very much
very
so.
Very good.
Let's see what else we have new.
Who here. Makes that? Who makes that?
That's from overseas.
Okay.
So we'll just call that our friends from overseas.
There you go. Okay.
Are you interested in hearing any about hard of hearing products?
Yes, by all means.
Okay. We have a new product by Serene. It's called the CL65. It is a 50-plus decibel amplified phone with a very large, high-contrast keypad. The numbers have backtalk, so as you push them, they'll announce the numbers for you.
Oh, nice.
And it has plenty of one-touch speed dials. I'm going to hold it out here for one of your hands to feel.
Okay. It's a nice little portable.
It's a cordless phone, yes,
it's a cordless. Does this speak any kind of caller ID information?
It does have talking caller ID.
Nice.
Talking caller IDs have type 1 and type 2 talking caller IDs. This one goes for the phone number versus the name. It does level 1 talking caller ID.
Okay, so you're not going to get the name?
Not right now. New revisions will come out in the future, but this is the newest blind, low vision, amplified, hard of hearing cordless phone that has just come out.
And these keys will speak. So as I dial a number, it will say 555,
exactly.
Whatever. It will
and even as you
that.
Push the memory buttons, it'll say the memory button locations too.
So is there menus to this that it speaks? Or?
It does have a menu button, and it does allow you to move through some different menus.
I mean, does it totally speak in there, or are there parts that maybe it doesn't? That's what I'm...
From what I've used and tested, it's a great speaking phone. It does the backtalk on the keypads. For the tone control going up and down, it does tell you the levels. For the speed dials, it also tells you what speed dial you're pushing.
Very good. And what's the price on this?
Good question. Let me... those run... There's three flavors. There's basic, there's middle, and then there's deluxe. Deluxe having the caller ID and the answering machine. The basic being just the back talk with the speed dials. And then the really basic unit, which is actually just more for a lower decibel amplified cordless phone with a keypad. They run from about $89 to about $170.
Okay, depending on which of the three models that
exactly,
you desire.
Exactly.
Okay. There'll be a lot of interest in that, certainly.
Okay. We have new templates. We have what we call clamshell templates, which is a letter writing guide with a solid back. I'm going to grab one for you.
Okay. And again, we were speaking with LSNS. Oh, well, you could have multiple. Nice, yeah.
This
it's great
for stationary.
It's just multiple lines here, multiple grooves.
It's so a letter writing guide.
Letter
just
writing
like a
guide.
Signature guide.
Right, so that I'm trying to delineate so the folks know it's not a signature guide. You can actually use this, and if you learn to write, it, 1, 2, 3, I'm trying to count them there, but there's quite a few. Very nice. How much is this?
This is a kit, and it's a low-vision tool, and it comes with a letter writing guide, check writing guides, an envelope writing guide, and stationery guides, and it goes for about $25. But the key with this one is that it opens up like a clam so that you can close the paper
Exactly.
And keep it in one spot. And right. If you notice the thickness of the guide here, it allows you when you use a 20/20 pen or a regular pen.
Yeah, it's not going to deviate. These aren't going to move on you,
exactly.
And you're not going to cross lines.
You got it. So this is a newer product.
It's called a clamshell because this opens up. It's like a folder, folks. It just kind of opens in half. Very nice.
We also have a new FM system called the Motiva. The Motiva is a personal FM system. So for this application, imagine a teacher giving a lecture to either in a college or into K through 12, whatever you'd prefer, and you have a transmitter on the teacher, and the student would have their own personal receiver. That student would have hearing loss, and it will work with or without hearing aids. It will work with or without cochlear implants. So it does have the ability of connecting to a lot of different auditory devices. But the key with this one, I'm going to let you hold this quickly. The key with this particular receiver that is unlike most other FM systems is you have the teacher talking through the transmitter. You're holding the receiver here with an earphone going to your ear. It has a dial on the top of it that allows you to turn the teacher off and then you can make it a personal amplifier for one-on-one or small group amplification.
So just explain this to folks. It's about something like it fit in your hand. You got a belt clip on the top left. You got a microphone, and you got two controls here that he described, I guess, for adjusting the volume. There's an earphone jack on the far right.
And that's a microphone right there.
Right,
with a
microphone on the left with a nice little windscreen on it.
So it becomes a personal amplifier on top of being an FM system.
How far will this travel?
Well, the FM system is meant for anywhere between 150 to 200 feet.
When I discover a classroom environment or
exactly.
in a home or something.
Yeah, or you look at a lecture hall on a college campus. It's meant to go a big distance.
Right. And what is the price of this?
These are $749 for the transmitter, the receiver, the lapel microphone, the earphones, everything you would need to have the system up right out of the box.
And who makes this?
This is made, this is called the Motiva.
Motiva.
It's made by Williamson.
Well, okay, very good. Now, what was the first product you mentioned about the mobility tool that goes out 15 to 45 feet that you can use, I guess, for finding, you know, maybe if you have problems finding your home or a particular location that you're getting to?
Well, it's an orientation mobility tool. It's called the Step Here. Okay, I'm going to let you hold the piece that somebody that would be blind or visually impaired would use. It has three tactile buttons on the top. There's two circles, one with a single dot, one with a double dot, and one that has a triangle.
In the middle, yeah.
Yeah, the triangle is towards the bottom right. It has a Velcro wristband, or it can be used as a pendant around your neck. And go ahead and push in the triangle button, which is this button here, and hold it in for a few seconds, and let me know if it starts to vibrate for you.
All right, there we go. It's vibrated once, okay.
Okay, the reason why it's vibrating a little bit and it's also giving you an audible beep is because it's letting you know that you're close to a transmitter.
So does it get faster or louder, or when it gets closer, how does it?
It increases its vibration frequency. It increases the beep frequency as you get closer. If you were to walk 20 feet away from here, it would literally stop doing anything, and then as you came back, it would start to go ahead and beep and vibrate for you. And now push one of the buttons.
Kennedy Marshall High School. The security desk is straight ahead.
Now this unit, when you push that, can you see the vibration is
now
increased?
Yeah, yeah.
Now it also sets off a strobe, and it's so everybody can hear it.
Very neat. Very good. Right, so that others can hone in on it if you're traveling in a group or something.
Exactly.
Very good.
If we hold in the triangle again, it'll give you a double beep, double vibration, and it turns off.
Okay, right, so you know you've reached home. Okay.
Exactly.
How much is this?
This is a combination system, and the one transmitter and one receiver is $149.95, but you can a la carte the rest. You can buy additional receivers or additional transmitters based on what your needs are. Exactly. And if you go to our website, which is www.lssproducts.com, and type in the word STEP here, it will pull up both the package and the combo and then all the individual accessories for it. Well, the Jensen clock is a user-independent clock. And what I mean by that is you or the person that buys it does not have to program it. Kind of like drag and dictate. You need to customize the voice recognition to learn who you are. This one is different. This one has certain keywords that you memorize to trigger it. And you can use it, you can use your own voice to sit down and set the time, set the alarm type, whether you want to have the radio go off or if you want it to, there are several different alarm sounds that come with it. The clock itself measures about 8 inches by 5 inches. It's got a brilliant blue 2-inch large display. That's on a black background, and it does have a built-in radio. And again, you can use your voice to set the time, set the alarm. I believe that you can set the date. I may have to follow up with you on that. I believe that you can.
Can you adjust the radio with your voice?
No.
Okay.
No, the radio,
just for the clock. Okay.
Yeah, the radio has a manual dial for the volume on the radio.
Okay.
It has a manual dial for changing stations.
Right.
Okay.
So no presets or anything. Just. Radio basic.
This version, no.
Okay.
There's no presets.
All right.
Okay.
And how much is this Jensen unit?
I believe it's about $49.95. Again, probably best to refer to
right.
my website to get exact pricing on it. PenFriend. We do have another hard of hearing product.
Okay.
It is an alarm clock. It does not speak. But what it has, I'm going to hold it in your hand, is it comes with a wireless doorbell button. And a lot of people, don't push the button yet, A lot of people that wear hearing aids that take them out at night will miss common signals like their telephone or somebody at their door because they've taken their hearing aids out.
Right.
This unit is an alarm clock that has built-in strobe light at the top of it. And if you push the button...
You hear the doorbell, okay.
Yeah, what it does is allow somebody that takes hearing aids out at night to be properly alerted to somebody at their door. And it also is a nice loud alarm clock for them to wake up with in the morning. Now, we also sell a full variety of home alerting systems for the deaf, the hard of hearing, and the deafblind.
So they would have like lights? Or
we have lights, we have pagers that can vibrate, we have extra loud horns, we have strobe lights, we can turn fans on and off to even blow on you if you don't like sound or if you don't have light perception. So a lot of different varieties of alerting systems with LSS.
Refer folks to lssproducts.com to look at these and other great items, but it sounds like these are affordably priced, and that's what we really strive for at serotalk.com is to let people know of affordable, accessible solutions, and it looks like you're doing that. So we wish you well, and maybe send some customers your way here to LS&S Group. Where are you located?
We are in Buffalo, New York, and we have a very well-trained customer service team that will take all the time necessary to even pull products from our warehouse to test them and try them and answer all of your questions. We really are a service-oriented company with great prices.
We're going to talk about some of the new good stuff coming down the Plexter line here. What's going to make this stand out now from the other portable devices? Because there's a lot of competition in that space now.
It's a pocket. It still has the internal Wi-Fi chip already at the beginning of the shipment. So only need is activation of the Wi-Fi capability by upgrade software. The upgrade software is coming soon at the April. So the once upgrade is done, then in the first stage you can do the file share with another word, file transfer wireless file transfer between your laptop and the pocket. So it may be very convenient. It's the first stage of the April.
Okay, so explain this, because some people, when you say file sharing, they assume they can go on somewhere and download music from someone else's. But this is just to synchronize with your own machine, right? Your own...
Just drag and drop the file between your laptop and the pocket. No need to connect to USB cable. Second stage, we are expecting June to July this year. We'll add a new feature that utilize Wi-Fi. You see, internet radio and podcast.
Oh, now that'll be big. Let's explain, how is that going to work?
We also support a companion software. Then you can choose your favorite, like internet radio channel, and the setup. Then once the setup finished, pocket directly going to the internet radio station, then start streaming automatically. So no need to PC stuff anymore.
Okay, so how many internet streams will there be, a database that people can search for? How many stations will there be available?
Good question. So we are now looking for the specification of the so-called companion software.
What media formats will that support?
Media format, good question.
Like the Shoutcast MP3 or Windows Media or AAC Plus or...
I definitely say MP3 is a mandatory.
Okay, you think that'll be the main, the Shoutcast, Icecast?
Yeah.
So I know the internet radio, this AAC Plus is really taking on, it's becoming very popular.
So
I don't know if that's
okay.
Technically feasible, but just something to keep in mind. So how will that work? Will you do those from the device? Will you need to go through a laptop or other computer first, or will you be able to just choose the stream or the genre, the type of music or the location?
Yes.
From the Plextalk Pocket itself.
Exactly. Just the tuning, a preset of the channel requires the PC companion software. However, once tuning is finished, setup finished, now Pocket directly go to the radio channel. No need your PC.
So you can use store favorites. Will you be able to just say, hey, these are my favorites? Look through the ones
sure.
I have on here, when you like,
sure.
Just add it to your favorites.
Sure. Yeah, well, latest selection, it's available in the Pocket function.
Tim here from IRTI to talk about two new exciting products. You have some new set-top accessible box, and that I want to start with because there's a lot of interest in that.
Absolutely. We call it Eclipse Media Center or Media Server. It's a standalone set-top box that has a built-in audio CD player, DVD player, and internet radio. It's all controlled through a remote control, completely accessible.
You have pre-programmed stations in here? You set presets, or how does that facet of it work?
We've got over 260 pre-loaded radio stations. We've got about 40 genres. And it also has the ability, if you attach a keyboard to it, to actually load your own radio stations.
What can you do there?
All done through the remote, or it can come with a USB-attached keypad. It's all done through keys, and it's all self-voicing.
Okay, what voice does that use?
It's currently using Neo Kate or Neo Paul, and that's configurable by the end user. It can actually utilize any standard SAPI 5 compliant speech engine.
Okay, so let's talk about the DVD, because that's a big issue, is navigating the menus of DVDs to find that hidden content. So talk about the DVD navigation.
Absolutely. The way it works initially is you stick the DVD in, you hit the load key. Behind the scenes, it seeks out the play hotspot. It'll trip the play hotspot and begin playing the movie straight away. If you want to go poking around in the menu system, from the DVD player's menu itself, you can select DVD navigation, and that will actually access and expose the DVD's menu system. Now, the one thing that we can't do, and I just tell people straight away, we can tell you how many menu items, we can tell you the sequence of menu items, but because remember, on a DVD, the title of the menu item doesn't exist. It's a video clip. We can't actually tell you the words behind it, but you can go poking around. You can go to item 5 of 10 and go, oh, those are the outtakes. And I remember, I'll go back there, you know. We can go to item 3 of 7, and it's the interviews and whatnot.
Pretty much full accessibility.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we give you as much as there is to give.
So now this set-top box has a physical DVD player built into it, and the radio, it's all one piece,
correct,
right?
Yep, absolutely.
And what was the third module? There was something else.
CD audio player.
Okay.
And it's very cool. The CD audio player does the kind of the DJ thing. If there are what they call ID3 tags, you know, literally the track label, if the CD has track labels, it will announce the name as it's moving through them, as it's playing. Free Falling, you know, on a Tom Petty album, and then it'll start playing it. And then as it moves to the next one, it'll announce the title, and then it'll play the title. Fully self-contained, you can hook up a keyboard to it if you need to. You can hook up a monitor to it if you need to. You can hook it up to your TV. You can hook it up to a stereo system.
Now, there's not a TV tuner, right?
Not a TV tuner, but it does have the outs for hooking it to the TV as a display device.
I was going to ask, which kind of inputs or outputs does this device have?
It's basically a fully self-contained computer motherboard. It's all VGA, SVGA, line, headphone, mic, you know, the whole nine yards.
Okay.
USB.
And the big question, what is the cost of Media Center?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I think, okay, and if you want to know,
yeah,
for
ballpark,
sure.
Ballpark.
If you want to know, come by and see us. I think it's under $1,000.
Okay.
Fully self-contained, the whole bit, the hardware device and everything. We've got our standalone scan and read system.
Okay.
Now, what that is it's a hardware device. It's got a built-in flat-top scanner. It's got a built-in DVD, CD drive. The whole thing is run from about, I'm looking at it here, probably 8 or 9 or 10 buttons. Very, very easy to use, very simple, fully self-contained. It scans, it reads, it navigates. It loads e-text, reads, and navigates. It, too, has the DVD player built into it, the CD audio player built into it, and the internet radio built into it.
Okay, and the cost?
That one's $19.95, which is actually quite a good deal given, you know, the average price of a standalone scan-and-read-only system. Now, keep in mind, now, this is standalone scan-and-read and the DVD player and the CD audio player and the internet radio.
So why don't you give a website and contact information, Tim?
www.irti.net. Phone number 530-274-2090. 800 number is 800-322-4784.
You've been listening to Cerro Talk. Visit us at www.cerrotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@cerrotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.